Off the Ball Breakfast.
We are in a death spiral. That we're like, we are the death spiral.
Death BT or
no,
TH.
TH.
Because BT is 40 million, isn't it?
Well, you know.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Well, Keith, we've just seen Liverpool leave it late to beat Burnley 1-0. Burnley almost did it. They were 2 minutes away from a clean sheet against the champions, but they come away with nothing.
Yeah, it's a really tough one for Burnley to take. I thought they were brilliant. I thought a draw wouldn't have flattered them whatsoever. I know Liverpool were the ones with the lion's share of possession. They were the ones who looked like getting a goal, but generally, you know, if you're in the Burnley dressing room now and Scott Parker is talking about the likes of Salah, Gakpo, Wirtz, Ekitike, McAllister before he came off, didn't really have a, you know, in an attacking sense, didn't really open up Burnley at any time. So I think Scott Parker and Burnley will be fairly happy with the performance. But look, I spoke about Josh Cullen during the game when I think it was Szoboszlai had the ball about 25 yards out, and he ran out and he stood up and he looked straight down the barrel of the ball and thought, I want to get hit with this. I want to stop this shot coming in. When the cross is coming in, Hannibal comes out and he looks at it and thinks, I want to stop it, but I don't want to get hit with the ball. And turns his back. And when you turn your back and your arm comes up, you're always liable to give away a penalty. So while I have some sympathy for Burnley as a team, given the work rate, it's one of this little silly basics of the game. Don't turn your back. Get hit with the ball in the stomach and deal with it from there. So it's a real tough one to take. Liverpool underwhelming, but four wins from four games.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, given the fact that there was only three games before the international break and, you know, new attack, like, Arne Slot must be thinking, like, we're ahead of schedule here, because I know they're the champions and they didn't make any changes really last season. Chiesa was signed but barely featured in the league. The only start he had in the league last season was when the league was already wrapped up. So he has to sell players and then bring in a whole new attack, basically. And that's going to take time. And he's probably had very little, like, the pre-season is fine, like, but he's had very little time in terms of games to try and build up a rhythm.
Yeah, of course, and very little time on the training pitch as well, because they would have had game after game and then rolling into the international. So, again, like, I speak about Wirtz coming in, Frimpong coming in, Kerkes, who I thought was actually quite poor today as well. And, you know, his yellow card aside, I thought his performance wasn't great. He was popping up in attacking positions, looked okay, but that yellow card was really, really embarrassing stuff. He ends up getting the bullet because of it, because the manager can't trust him to play the rest of the game on a yellow card. So I thought he was underwhelming. But the one, Wirtz, is one I look at and I think, what I've seen him with Bayer Leverkusen, being an invincible with them, popping up in the number 10, goals and assists, haven't quite seen that in a Liverpool jersey yet. But, you know, I wouldn't be going in too hard, and for the reasons that you've just said, there's been three games, an international break, and then he's coming back. And he's played against a lot of different teams already. You know, the likes of a Burnley that will drop deep and make it really difficult for you. The likes of a Bournemouth that will drop deep, but in the blink of an eye can be the edge of your own 18-yard box. Newcastle away would have been a really difficult one. So it's a learning curve for Florian Wirtz, and I do think he will get better and stronger all the time. But at the minute, we haven't quite seen it. And it's the old guard. We're looking at the likes of Salah. Wasn't great today, but when the time came that Liverpool needed him, he manages to go and win it. But I'm sure Scott Parker's team talk is a lot easier today than Arne Slot's is. Arne Slot will be saying to his Liverpool team, play like that every week and you aren't going to win the league. And the Burnley manager's one will be, play like that every week and you'll stay in the league. So although sometimes performances and results don't quite add up, and I think the Burnley performance was good enough to say more of that, more of the same, lads, when we play the bigger clubs. When they don't, when they play teams in and around them like Sunderland, there will be an emphasis to go and win them games. But so close to 4 points from two opening games at home from a Burnley point of view.
Just on Wirtz, because we know he scored that great free kick on international duty, but while he was away in international duty, obviously he was asked about his start in the Premier League, and he said, look, it's a different league. It's physical. We saw him cramp up against Arsenal. Valdemare made his debut for Newcastle yesterday, scored and asked to come off because he was cramping up. So it is that, and Slot said it as well about when Chiesa was there last season, people kept asking, are we going to see him? He's like, well, he's in a new league. He had no pre-season. And the intensity of this league is just different to anything else in Europe, whether it's Serie A, whether it's the Bundesliga. So, you know, he will obviously take a bit of time to get used to it, but it'll be interesting to see where Slot plays him, especially when Isak comes in.
Yeah, a lot of people have said this to me, you know, I have a Liverpool fan in the house, and what they said to me was, what's the point in signing Isak and Ekitike in the same window? And on the face of you, I think, and probably a little bit similar, but I think there's an easy fix there where Isak goes through the middle, Ekitike comes off the left, or maybe even Ekitike in the 10, and Florian Wirtz off the left. We've seen him do that for Germany recently as well. So look, I think there's different little weapons there for Liverpool. I think what's brilliant from the Liverpool point of view is that they're not looking at Salah to be you need to be the one to win the game for us every time. You've got Gakpo. Wirtz, I do think, will come to the party at some point. So Szoboszlai has already proven he can be the match winner from certain times. So they've got all sorts of weapons. The one thing that gives other people hope within the Premier League is that they haven't looked to finish the article, Liverpool. The way they finished last season, you know, won the league at a canter, really. You're looking at them this season with the signings they've made, you're thinking they're so much stronger than they are, yet that hasn't really transpired onto the pitch just yet. Yeah. So there is little green shoots for the likes of an Arsenal or a Man City or whoever else is looking at getting into the title race. But when you're winning games and you're not at 100%, that's generally a good thing.
Yeah, and if you look at the games coming up for Liverpool, is it better to get into this rhythm of games, or would Slot be thinking, I wouldn't mind a bit of time in the training pitch?
Well, I think given the fact that they're winning, they don't mind just rolling into game after game. And one thing that players really, I didn't like, was more training sessions. You know, you've done your pre-season, you've done all the training, you generally know systematically where you need to be at certain times. So I never liked the training. I'd rather bounce into game after game. Given the fact that it's been a little bit disjointed at times from Liverpool, maybe Arne Slot would be thinking, I wouldn't mind getting these lads for a full week on the training ground and going from there. But like I say, if you're winning and you're not happy, that's a really good sign.
Yeah, and the next two games, obviously the Champions League starts during the week, and they've Atletico Madrid at home, and Liverpool fans will remember how Atletico dumped them out of the Champions League when they were the reigning champions. They've the Merseyside derby. That would suggest you've another couple of games coming up where the opposition are going to sit deep and say, see, can you break us down? So Slot is going to find out soon enough if they've learned anything from today.
Yeah, they will. And like I say, these low blocks, like Wirtz would have been thinking, my God, where was this? Like the low blocks against Burnley, people coming out, engaging with him, being really physical with him. It's going to be tough for Wirtz, and he's going to have to learn on the job. People think 130 million, he's going to come and take the league by storm. I do think there'll be learning curves. There'll be times where he doesn't play to his maximum. That's just, you know, it's just one of these things. And, you know, people have always said to me, and even with Victor Gyökeres coming in at Arsenal, people are saying to me, do you think he's the one, Keith? And I'm going, I'm not too sure. It's because he hasn't played in the Premier League. And I think anybody that hasn't played in the Premier League, there's always going to be a question mark over them. And Florian Wirtz is in that category right now.
And that's where Isak is different, where he has played in the Premier League. He has scored goals in the Premier League. Only two players have scored more goals in the Premier League in the last couple of seasons than Isak. So I suppose the exciting thing for Liverpool fans is they're 4 from 4 and they haven't even got one of the best strikers into their team yet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what they're thinking. Like when you think of Isak through the middle, Florian Wirtz in the 10, Ekitike on the left and Salah on the right, that's a really mouth-watering attacking line that Liverpool have. Although you say Kanate, Van Dijk didn't have an awful lot to do today, but the bits that they had to do, they won their aerial duels. You look at the right back and think maybe there's a little bit there with Szoboszlai filling in. Is there something that opposition can get from there? Kerkez, I thought he was brilliant at Bournemouth. I thought he was one of the best left backs in the league last season. This season, I'm looking at him and, you know, I've seen him live in the Aviv, and I'm thinking, I think he can be got it. I think defensively there's question marks over Kerkez, and I think the more you play against Liverpool, the more people are starting to scratch the surface in Kerkez and think really good going forward, but defensively there may be a question mark. So maybe the fullbacks are maybe a weakness for opposition against Liverpool.
Nice option to have off the bench, where he's able to bring Robertson and Bradley on as his two fullbacks. But I suppose Slot would say we'll have to do less defending if we're better with the ball. In terms of, you referenced Josh Cullen had a fine game, and you know, we've watched the Premier League back this weekend after what happened in Yerevan, and we look at some of the players and think, where was that? And I know it, look, international football and club football is different, and they're playing in better teams, but even last night I watched Brentford and Chelsea. In the first minute of the game, a ball went up to João Pedro, who came through the back of him and basically let him know he was there. It was Nathan Collins. I think Josh Cullen throwing himself at tackles today, into tackles. Why don't we see this?
I really don't know. You know, these lads obviously have attributes. That's why they're playing in the Premier League. Nathan Collins has attributes. That's why he's the captain of a Premier League team at such a young age. I don't know whether it's the weight of the Ireland jersey or what exactly it is, but, you know, they have attributes. I think we just need to highlight the attributes. And playing out from the back is something that Nathan can do, but it's not something that he should be doing in an Ireland jersey, because Cullen has attributes. But getting Cullen on the ball, I mean, everything that I highlighted today from Josh Cullen being good was about closing the distance, putting tackles in, winning the ball back. It was never about setting off attacks or opening up the defence of Liverpool. It was about the other dirty side of the game. So if we get Cullen to do that sort of stuff in an Ireland jersey, say, look, when you win it, just give it to somebody else. Just pass to a green jersey. Don't worry about anything else. And when Nathan wins it, we've got one of the best young forwards in Europe, if not the world, in Evan Ferguson, or one that we think can get to that level, doing really well at Roma. Get the ball up to him. Just get it up to him. Keep him involved in the game and play from there. It's going to be a little bit, you know, hit and rush back from front really early. But I think we've proven now, Stephen Kenny has proven, Hamer Halmerson has proven, we don't have the technicians in the middle of the park. So bypass it.
I think when you look at Cullen today, though, it's like Burnley are compact. There's very little space. So if he shoots out and he doesn't get there, there's somebody else to cover him. Yeah. I always find when you watch Ireland and that midfield, if someone misses a tackle, we are wide open.
Yep. I think you're spot on. I really like the 5-3-2 formation. I've seen the Scots play it an awful lot under Steve Clarke. But what the Scots have with Ryan Christie and McTominay, when they're deep and they win the ball, they can be on the edge of the 18-yard box of the opposition at the drop of a hat. Whereas Cullen is, you know, he's not slow, but he's not exactly lightning if you want him to get up there. And I, with the Ireland team, I did see a little mishmash of game plans. You see Cullen going to get the ball off of Collins, then it goes long, and you're thinking, that's a 70-yard sprint now for you to get up to the strikers. Whereas if you're cheating and thinking, I don't want the ball, I'm going to go up and stand next to Evan Ferguson because that's where it's going to drop. It's just a little bit, you know, it's very, very basic stuff, but it's just a clear thought process. And I think if Ireland go a little bit more back to front, a little bit quicker and defend, you know, I would love to see Ireland keep clean sheets. People have told me, Jake O'Brien, Collins, O'Shea, Queevy and Kelleher, we should be keeping a lot more clean sheets and highlight the attributes of what we have.
Just before we finish up, the Premier League obviously back this weekend. You mentioned Arsenal, comfortable win for them yesterday. It does have, it's very early days, but it does look like it's Liverpool and Arsenal are the two teams to beat again.
Yeah, it does. I feel like we've been really reactive. Like a lot of people have said, nobody's really mentioned Manchester City. Then they go and play really well in the opening game of the season, and people are thinking, oh, would we all just forget about Manchester City? Then they were really poor again. So we think we're a little bit reactive. If City go and blow Manchester United out of the water, we're just on the eve of the kickoff now. If City go and blow Manchester United out of the water, people will start bringing City back into the conversation. But yeah, from what I've seen early doors, I think it will be Arsenal, Liverpool, but I think Liverpool are favourites. I think with Odegaard and the shoulder and not looking great, and Saka still already flirting with injuries, the Arsenal squad has got stronger and stronger. Zubimendi, you know, the volley from him on yesterday was unbelievable, and his header at the back post was great. Eze looks to have come to the party straight away. Madueke
raised a few eyebrows when they spent that money on him, but you mentioned
both my eyebrows.
You mentioned Kirkes. Madueke and Kirkes was a great battle in that Liverpool Arsenal game, but he gave Forrest all sorts of trouble yesterday.
Yeah, and to be fair, I was the one who said, like, why are we buying Madueke? He's a good, strong player, but keep that 50 million, put another 50 to it and go and get Ollie Watkins or a João Pedro before he went to Chelsea. But since Madueke's come in, I don't think he can wrestle him off that left wing. He's been brilliant. I know he was on the right, but that's locked down as Bukayo Saka's position. But yeah, Madueke, really good addition so far.
Yeah, absolutely right. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Keith.
Cheers.
Football on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.